Today on Real Life Radio.
Christians worship their God. Number one reason? Salvation! Man, number one reason, God saved us! Saved us from what? From sin, from hell, from death. I mean, well, we may die, but we don't die for long.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus, Part 1. Here in chapter 19 of Revelation, the Great Tribulation period is now coming to a close. Mankind's last attempt to govern himself has failed, and the self-proclaimed global leader, the Antichrist, is near his end. You see, chapter 19 brings us to a time of hope and great expectation for the believer. All of us who have trusted Christ can look forward to what these verses tell us about the future. Heaven is now setting the stage for the second coming of Christ, and the Hallelujah Chorus will now be sung for all time, for eternity. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Bible calls us to worship Jesus, for He alone is our Savior. We not only worship Him now, but also in heaven, for He promised salvation. He performed salvation, and He provided salvation to all who believe. Now in his message called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
To meet them in the clouds with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Those verses all flow together in a beautiful montage. This is the hope of the believer who's living now in this age. That's why we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's not Mormon. It's not morbid to desire the Lord's return. It's not morbid. It's not sad to desire his return. It's a good thing. The Bible tells us here in our study, as we read the first six verses, and again, we won't get into all these, just the first verse, you heard about the 24 elders. Remember that? We see in this chapter once again, and we haven't seen them in a long time, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Do you guys remember the living creatures? As we now come to the conclusion of the book, these are radical. They're angelic beings. They're different. You know, there's rankings of angels. Some angels we read in the Bible, they appear as men on earth. You can't tell. The Bible warns us, you got to be careful because you can't tell an angel from a human when they're on earth walking around. Isn't that freaky? So treat me nicer, will you? You never know. Isn't that weird? The Bible also tells us that there is angels and they have wings. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to freak you out, but it sure is fun reading. Have you read Frank Peretti's book, Piercing the Darkness? If you can get through the first chapter, you're hooked. When those demons come flying into town, in that little town. It's a great book, great series of books. There's descriptions of angels that are very unique. Now you come to these four living creatures and they are altogether wild. They sound ugly. They kind of sound like Godzilla with a bunch of wings on them. But they must be beautiful. There's four of them. They are forever in the presence of God. And they have six wings. They have three pairs of wings. See, that freaks me out right there. And the Bible tells us that when they come into the presence of the Lord, get a load of this. God is so holy. The Bible tells us that with one pair of wings, they veil their bodies in the presence of God. They cover their bodies. Apparently, they have to. They need to. I think personally, they have to veil their bodies to survive in the presence of God. Because the Bible tells us that if we were to see God, it would kill us. Did you know that?
I saw the Lord.
No, you didn't. Moses couldn't even see the Lord. Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. So you know Moses, I've got to see you. I want to see you. And God says, I tell you, okay, I can only do this because if you see me, it'll kill you. I'm going to stuff you in the crack of this rock. Can you imagine? Shoves him in. There's a staff and a robe hanging out. And God, the Bible says God passes by. And after God passes by, the effervescence, the residual of where God was illuminates the atmosphere when God passes by. And then the Bible says that God revealed Moses' face that he could see, and he saw where God once was. And the glory was so amazing. Listen, all you tanning bed people. He got such a sunburn from the presence of God that he had to put a bag over his face, that when he went down to the children of Israel, he didn't want them to see the glory of God departing from him. And a lot of scholars believe, many Jewish scholars believe, that Moses veiled his face also, that the people would not worship Moses because he was glowing from the presence of the Lord. That's pretty cool. Man, can you imagine when we get to heaven? Yeah, it's going to be kind of cool. Kind of cool? You're going to freak out. These four angelic beings, they got two wings covering their body. They've got two wings covering their face. There's no apparent record in Scripture that even tells us that these angels have the opportunity to look upon God. Their faces are covered. Isn't that awesome? And then it says, with the last remaining wings they've got, they must fly like the Dickens because they're two sets of wings short. And they must be flying there like bees. In the presence of God. And they shout day and night. And they mean it. They don't go, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Okay, say it again. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Are you kidding? Forever, they're bowing down and they're flapping their wings. They're covering their bodies. They're covering their faces. And they're going, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. And they mean it. And it's worship in the presence of God. And in the presence of those four living creatures, there are 24 elders. Do you remember when we built this church, everybody? What's standing beneath my feet on this placard that I'm standing on? Do you remember how many Bibles? 24. 24 Bibles are beneath my feet, about 8 feet down, ensconced in that concrete pillar. Remember the prayer shawl? We put a prayer shawl in there because, I'll tell you why, because in a moment. There's Bibles in there, 24 of them. There's a prayer shawl in there. And remember what you brought back from Israel? Rocks. And remember we put stones from Israel and we put them down in the foundation of this church beneath the pulpit? Why? Because Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And thus we symbolize that by throwing that prayer shawl into the concrete foundation on that Saturday morning, October 5th, 2002. Says it right here beneath my shoe. Okay? The other thing was the Bibles, 24 of them. The Gideons were kind enough to grant us Bibles that have gone out to all of the world, and they were retired Bibles. There were Bibles that were worn out from hotels all around the world, and they shipped them back. We said, we want 24 of them. They sent us 24 Bibles from all over the world that have now done their job, and they were going to retire them. And we retired them right here in the foundation of this church. 24 Bibles representing the 24 elders. He said, well, who are the guys? We don't know who the guys are, but in God's order of priesthood, from Old Testament, now we know to the New Testament, God's perfect order of priesthood was 24. There was always 24 priests ready to serve God. And why does that Old Testament 24 elder priesthood be significant in the New Testament? Because the Bible calls us and mentions the 24 elders in the book of Revelation, that we, the collective body of worshipers of God's people, are the priesthood of believers. That's what Peter tells us. That's what Scripture tells us, that you and I now, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are a royal priesthood built up as living stones. And so beneath our feet, the 24 Bibles signifying the 24 elders. And you say, what about the rocks? What about the rocks? We grab these rocks and we put them in the foundation that we'd always be a church based upon the word, 24 Bibles, a house that's always praying, always praying, thus the prayer shawl. But Jesus said that I tell you on Palm Sunday, remember, if I command these stones or these, excuse me, if I command these disciples to be quiet, I tell you these very stones will cry out. And the stones in the foundation of this church are here for our indictment, God forbid, should we ever stop worshiping. Now, if you and I live on and we die, that judgment or that indictment goes to the next generation of believers. If we are not a praying church, if we are not a Bible-based church, and if we are not a church worshiping, then we are a church in contempt. Contempt of God. And maybe, I hope not ever, but maybe those stones will cry out from the foundation of this building and say, the Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord, He is God. Because Jesus said, if my people shut up in worship, the stones will cry out in worship. His faithfulness. Four things. Number one, salvation. He's faithful to save us. After these things, I heard a loud voice. So I'm biblical this morning, yelling at you the way that I am. See that? Loud voice, a great multitude in heaven. You're there. You can put your initials right there. That will be me. Look at you. You're right there, verse one. Saying, Alleluia, salvation. Praise be to God, salvation. We are to worship Him and sing our hallelujahs because He promised salvation, He performed it, and He's provided it. This word salvation, mark it down, it means the rescuing, the delivering, the saving, the taking of us. God saved us. We will be in heaven. Church, listen, we will be in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation. Now, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hand down. On the count of three, say, hallelujah, salvation. Get ready. We're going to practice. One, two, three. Hallelujah, salvation. You got to get used to that. You got to get used to that. We're going to be doing that. Hallelujah, salvation. It's going to happen. You say, Pastor, then don't be there. Just be in hell. Oh, now wait a minute. Heaven's for people who worship the Lord. You want to worship? No. Then don't go. You wouldn't be happy there. All these people are worshiping God. Look at them singing and lifting their hands. Then don't be there. But I don't know about you. Christians worship their God. Number one reason, salvation. Man, number one reason, God saved us. Saved us from what? From sin, from hell, from death. I mean, we may die, but we don't die for long. The Pope died this weekend. Oh, listen, how does someone get to heaven was the question on MSNBC. How does one get to heaven? And the answer was by being like the Pope. That's the answer given. Well, let me tell you this. And can you guys have a car waiting for me right now in a moment? Jesus said to a man who had a greater status at the time, Nicodemus, the ruler of Israel, in the religious community of Israel, the land of the Bible, Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you will not see heaven. If John Paul was born again, he's rejoicing with the angels. If John Paul was born again, he's in the presence of God. Listen, if he's not born again, that's not a good thing. You say, well, how can you say such a thing? I'm quoting you Bible right now. Jesus says nobody gets to heaven but by being born again. That's not a club, and it's not an option. You go there by giving your heart to Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, and trusting Him completely for your salvation by faith, plus no works of righteousness. And so this guy on MSNBC says, well, the way you enter heaven is by living like the Pope. That is not how you get to heaven. That's why there's going to be a bunch of wonderful people, and there's going to be a loser like me in heaven. Right alongside you wonderful people saying, hallelujah, salvation. Because you know what? Heaven was given to us because Christ purchased it and provided it freely. The Bible says nobody gets to heaven by being good, by being righteous. Nobody. And so are you born again? Have you bowed your knee and said, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me personally, and there's nothing more that needs to be. Accept this, and not accept, but I should say, in response to the fact that you've done it all, Lord. Hallelujah, salvation warrants my absolute devotion. Don't you think? Devotion. Yesterday, we stood right here. I have to hurry. We stood right here, and a couple was getting married, and I've never seen anything like this happen before. The service is going on, beautiful music and singing, and it was just great, and all of his guys, he's standing here, and all of his guys are here, and let me tell you something. Those back doors opened, and I thought Nicole was going to break the arm of her dad coming down that walkway. I mean, they were there like that, and let's go. Come on. I mean, she was moving. And I'm watching this. It's like, whoa. They come up here. And it's so cute because her dad, too. Who gives Nicole to Jeffrey? I do. And it's like, wow. And they're up here and they're just, I'm trying to do a service. And they're looking at each other. And I didn't want to embarrass them. But I went, are you listening to me? I'm giving you the vows here. Are you listening to me? They're just like, devotion. Hallelujah, salvation. Are you devoted to the Lord? I was told a couple of weeks ago, you people at Calvary Chapel, you Christians, you believe in the grace of God. You need to be like us, riding our 10 speeds all around town and getting sweaty and working our way to heaven, because that's real. You guys preach the grace of God, salvation. Jesus died for all your sins and you're going to go to heaven. This is all wrong. What do you do? You put a little odometer on there and rack up the miles? Oh, I made 10,000 miles. I get to come into heaven now. What is that about? No. To those who hear the gospel, they say, yes, Lord. And it's between them and God to live it out. Nobody goes into heaven on someone's coattails. Well, that sounds awful easy. If you want to fight against him, fight against him. But to those who are broken, to those who need salvation, understand that you can't save yourself. The gospel's the greatest thing you've ever heard. And you say, hallelujah, salvation. Because you know what? You can't save ourselves. We can't do it. The second thing is this, and found in verse 1, the second thing is his faithfulness. We praise him and worship him because of his faithfulness to his glory. God is glory. Hallelujah, glory. Praise be to God, glory. The word is doxa. We get the word doxology. It means the praise, the worship, the adoration, the respect, the focus. Christian, are you praising him? Are you worshiping him? Are you adoring him? Are you respecting him? Are you focused on him? Now listen, I would be very careful to miss opportunities to worship him. You guys, your first service. We went from the dead of winter to summer in a day. That's how it is here. You're going to go outside. What are you going to do today? You're going to go, my goodness, you're going to go snow skiing today? Or are you going to go to the beach today? You can go down to Newport Beach and get sunburned, or you can go snow ski today and get sunburned. Isn't that amazing? I don't care what you do today. Just praise him. Doxa. Give him the glory. God's faithful. Thirdly, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, honor. Honor. This is the Greek word value, price be paid, ransom, debt, canceled. Oh, I wish we had months to study just this word. Months, I tell you. God canceled the debt of sin that I was to commit before I was ever born. God knew the rebellion that I would exercise against him. Jesus went to the cross anyway. Who are you this morning? Jesus went to the cross for you anyway. So we're to honor him. We're to shout, the price has been paid. We honor you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for paying my bills. adultery, fornication, robbery, murder, lying, pride, drunkenness, drugs. Jesus paid for it. Now watch. Oh, he did? Well then, I'm going to become a Christian and go do drugs tomorrow. You can't do that. Because if you're a real Christian, God moves in and changes your life and the Holy Spirit won't let you. In fact, if you're a real Christian, you can go try. And number one, before you ever go try to sin, he's going to knock you out. I'm going to backslide. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to backslide. Go ahead. The Bible says the way of the backslider is miserable. Why? Because you've been exposed to his glory, my friend, and you belong to him. Stop messing with your life and get back to God. Honor him. The hosts of heaven are singing hallelujah, honor. And look, we'll end with this. Hallelujah, power. His faithfulness. Why? Because of his power. After these things, now look, you guys, we are taking a field trip to the future in verse 1, and we are seeing eyewitness accounts because John was shown to the future, and it is you. John looked ahead and saw himself up there. John looks ahead and sees us there, and this is what you and I are going to be saying and singing. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power. Power. Worship him, says the Bible, because he alone is our power. This is God's power to perform. What I didn't touch on today, and I'll wrap up with this, is what is also included in verse 1. This declaration of verse 1 covers theologically from Genesis 1:1 all the way out to the conclusion of Revelation 22. Meaning that it is God who is the creator of all that there is. He is the sustainer. He keeps us. He is the life giver. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that will culminate. He's the one that will conclude. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The one who was, who is to come, the Almighty. He's it. He is it. And so we end with this. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Dad. If you're Italian, it's Papa, seriously. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with him. Until we see him coming in the rapture, until we die and meet him, we suffer in this world. Are you a child of God? Will you be with us?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, by the way, are you done with worry? Tired of spending too much time and energy on things that don't really matter? You know, the book of Revelation tells us that for the true follower of Christ, we have the assurance of heaven. So when you think about it, what really matters? You know, a quiet personal time set aside for the Lord can really help us to put things into perspective. Devotions, if you will. That's why we have a devotional plan on our website. Simply head over to jackhibbs.com, click on that devotions tab. Once you're there, you'll find weekly devotions personally written by Pastor Jack. And you know what? It's a great start for beginning your own conversation with the Lord. Again, the resource is called Devotions at our website. You'll find it right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.